Good morning. Let's everyone get a songbook, hymn book, turn to number 860. 860. There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gaze to see. Oh, Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? A city with foundations firm as the eternal throne, no wars nor desolation shall ever move a stone. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gaze to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? No night is death, no sorrow, no death and no decay, no yesterday, no morrow, but one eternal day. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gaze to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee?
Good morning, brothers and sisters. You get your Bibles and turn to Romans 11. I'm going to read verses 33 through 36. Romans 11, verses 33 to 36. Time out.
That's the bad thing about wearing a mask. My glasses fog over all the time. Of course, it keeps me from knocking you down with bad breath. But so there's advantages and disadvantages. Romans 11, 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom of knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Shall we pray? Our dear and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, bringing our worship to you, so because of the great love you have shown to us. We will never truly understand the mind of our God to the fullest extent, but we do understand that you are the true and just judge of our lives. We pray that our worship will be pleasing to you and uplifting to each of us, so that we may continue our walk as saints from this congregation in a cruel and evil world. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Angelic army seen, the have glorified him, mortals, the praises of his King. O Zion, Zion, I long, I gaze to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? 233. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name, thy charms are fused, bids our sorrow cease. Tis music in the sinner's ears, tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of counsel's sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availed for me. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind people, your Savior come and leave for joy. 522 will be our song before prayer and scripture. 522. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, and our eternal home. Beneath the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure, and our defense is sure. Before thy hills in order stood, on earth received offering, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same, to endless years the same. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for you to come. Be thou our God while life shall last, and our eternal home, and our eternal home.
Morning, everyone. Reading is John chapter 18, 1 through 11. John 18, 1 through 11. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who had betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word he had spoken, "Of those whom he gave me, I have lost none." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut his right ear off. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Boy, don't you wish you knew what God had planned for us as well as Christ did? I know that's my hope, my dream. And my prayer is just to understand what he wants me to do, not what it causes me or where I go. It would just be nice to know sometimes this is what he wants you to do. So anyway, join me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have gathered us here in your presence to soften our hearts so we may hear you calling. We thank you, Lord, for all the examples that this body has of strong, irreversible faith. We have had such tremendous examples of this. And we thank you so much for leading this way. We pray that we aren't swayed by the world, and we look close to those that are good examples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to thee, God and of Gethsemane. There amid the shades, while the lingering twilight fades, see the suffering friendless one weeping, praying there alone. When my love for man grows weak, when for stronger faith I seek, hill of Calvary I go, to thy scenes of fear and woe. There behold his agony, suffered on the bitter tree. See his anguish, see his faith,
love triumphant, still in death. Then to life I turn again, learning all the worth of pain, learning all the might that lies in a full self-sacrifice.
I'm pretty sure there's many of us that are no strangers to death. We've had family or friends. And we even think about recently with the passing of Rex. And death is a strange thing. There's a whole gamut of emotions, you know, that you experience in at different times. I mean, there are times when you think about the passing of someone that was close to you and you'll feel pain, you'll feel hurt, you may cry, sob. And then there's times later on you may think about the passing of that same individual and you feel joy and peace and happiness. And I think that we, with the passing of Rex, we can feel that and we can see that. We've probably gone through both of those emotions recently. And we think, you know, suffering ended. And so during communion, I mean, obviously we think about Christ, we think about his death, and we focus on that death, and he suffered. He suffered greatly. But also, his suffering ended, and he's with the Father now. And because of that sacrifice, because he was willing to suffer, we also someday will be with the Father. If you would, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin to the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk in according to the flesh, or walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh might set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for life. We thank you for the life that you breathed into us, into our physical bodies, when you brought us to this world. We thank you for the life that you gave us in sending your Son and allowing us to be freed from sin and free from death. And we think on your Son and his willingness to die, his willingness to lay his body down as a sacrifice. The pain and the suffering that he went through. And Lord, we praise you, and we are so thankful that he has risen from the dead and that he is with you now. Lord, as we take of this bread, just ask that we continue daily to think on that sacrifice and think on the life that we have and the life that's before us and the death that we no longer fear. It's in your Son's name. Amen. Let's continue in prayer. Lord, you truly are an awesome God, full of love. Lord, you are love. You loved us so much, you sent your Son, your one and only Son, to free us from the law, to free us from sin. Lord, we think of the blood that was shed, the blood that poured from the body of your Son as he hung upon that cross. And we understand the semblance of that and the power of that, and that blood and death was the price for sin, the price that was paid in full. So that my sins no longer condemn me, that our sins no longer condemn us if we are in you. Lord, we take this cup as he took that cup, the symbol of his blood. We pray your blessings upon it. Lord, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you so much for your love, for your forgiveness. Just thank you, Lord. In your Son's name, amen. pray for the offering. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you've given us. We can't thank you enough. Lord, we ask that this offering be used in a way that will further your kingdom, that decisions will be made based upon your will. Lord, also we pray for our daily sacrifices and our daily service and offering to you, that we will continue to be confident in our salvation so that we may boldly go out and seek the lost and bring them into the fold. Show them your kingdom. Lord, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Mark your songbooks, number 937. 937. Be the song of encouragement. Eight seven five. If for the prize we have striven after our labors are, rest for our souls will be given on the eternal shore. Oh, so beautiful home that we shall rest, never to roam, free from all care, happy and bright. Jesus is there, he is the light. Oft in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee. Beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea. Yes, a sweet rest is remaining for the true children of God, where there will be no complaining, never a chastening rod. Oh, mother, so beautiful home, that we shall rest, never to roam, free from all care, happy and bright. Jesus is there, he is the light. Oft in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for the beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea. Soon the bright homeland adorning, We shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning. Trust till the night is gone. O mother soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright, Jesus is there, he is the light. Hopped in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee. Beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea.
Good morning, church. I'm glad you're here today. This last week, there was so much work with those that are not with us that I'm glad to be here with those that are with us. So I'm glad Terry's back with us. So that is a blessing. We've heard from our four families that have been kind of wrestling COVID, and they're all headed in a good direction. So we thank God for that. And we've got Summer Rex's family with us this morning, and so we're good to be together. Good to be together. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we're going to get into some good stuff. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this wonderful day. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, I thank you for giving us family, for giving us those who know you, who believe in you, who are walking with Jesus, and it's just such a joy to be able to share our journey with each other. It's so powerful to be encouraged by and to encourage each other. And so I thank you, Father, for your wisdom in giving us the church. Just from your scriptures, we know it's not complicated. It's simple. It's simple, and we thank you for bringing us together because of Jesus. And we just pray, Father, that you guide our steps, that you guard our faith, that every single day we will become more like your Son and less like the world around us. I pray, Father, that you put it in our hearts to have eternal values. I pray, Father, that you remind us, because we are not temporary, to not chase temporary things. And I pray, Father, because you have made everything and you care about it all, that we will entrust you with everything. We love you so much, and we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go ahead and open your Bible to the book of James. James chapter 1 is where we're going to start this morning. Tell you what, I don't know about you, but this last week has been a very long month. I mean, just with everything that's going on, and when we have, you know, four families that are out sick at the same time, it's a big gap. And you know, when we run into stressful times in our life, when we hit whatever you call them, speed bumps or rough patches, or you know, James calls them trials. Whenever you run into them, one of the important things that we need to remember is that our faith has to be intentional. Because when we're put under stress, we usually go to what's natural. We go to what's natural. And God calls us not to be natural, because what is natural is of the flesh. But when you and I are in stressful situations, and I don't know what it is for you, because, you know, we all probably fall into a few categories, that our natural reaction to bad things or difficult times, some of our natural reactions are complaining. So bad, it's so hard, how can it get any worse? Yeah. I'm just glad we sang that song this morning. Where there will be no complaining. That's one of my favorite verses about heaven. It's like, what? No complaining? What will we do if we're not complaining about something? Oh, that's right. We'll be praising God. Yes. Yes. Where there will be no complaining. I love that. And sometimes our reaction to stress and difficult situations is fear. Sometimes we react in fear. I mean, and look, church, I know who I'm talking to, because all of us were like, no, we're faithful. We trust God. And yet when our faith is tested, when the stress just hits us in the mouth, sometimes we react in ways that we shouldn't. Sometimes we don't react in faith. And so this morning we're going to receive some encouragement from God's Word to prepare ourselves so that when the stress does hit us, we will go straight to the faithful response. Because in the end, all it is how much suffering are you going to go through before you get to the faithful response? Because we're all going to get to the faithful response. We're all going to get to that point where we say, I know, I trust God, He's got this, He's taking care of it, I get it. So all we're trying to do is shorten the span of the complaining or the fear or the worry or the suffering so that we can just get right to faith. Just get right to faith. In James chapter 1, he says in verse 2, count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, whatever it looks like, because you know, James is reminding us, he's not teaching us, he's reminding us that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. Wow. Trials in life produce steadfastness. Trials in life, bad things happening to us, produce steadfastness. Now, it's probably not very necessary for us to talk about what a trial in life is. We can all spot a trial. We know what problems look like. We know what trouble feels like. So we got that part down. I think it's important that we talk about steadfastness for a minute. Trials produce steadfastness. Steadfastness. Being able to be counted upon. God is looking at you. Life is happening to you, and God is looking at you, and He's asking Himself, can this disciple be trusted? Can this disciple be trusted, or are they going to let go? Can this disciple, this follower of Jesus, be trusted to cling tightly to the good news of Jesus, or are they going to give up? God is looking at us and saying, can I trust you? You know, so many times we try to turn the table on God, don't we? We cry out to Him. We wonder in our prayers, well, God, because of these trials, I'm really starting to ask myself, can you be trusted? That is wrong. God doesn't have to do anything else to prove His steadfastness. He's done it all. So really, the only one that's being tested is you and I. You and I are going through the trials of life. We're not immune to them. Jesus told us this. We're not immune from the troubles of life. And, I don't know, I guess everyone's got a different opinion of whether we get more than our fair share of trials. Or if maybe because we are different from this world that we may be trial magnets. I think that's fair. So we may experience more trials than someone else in this world. But there's a lot of things that everybody goes through. There's no escaping it. Those trials produce in us faith and hope and trust in God. Spiritual strength. Look, just like if you want to get stronger, you you exercise the body, right? You want to get smarter, you exercise the mind. You want to get spiritually stronger, you trust God in your trials. How often we think, oh boy, as soon as life slows down, if it's not so crazy, it's not so hectic, it's not so painful, I'm really going to work on my faith. Not happening. It's not happening. I hope it is. I mean, I hope you do. I hope you are studying God's word on a nice, calm morning. I hope you're learning how to pray against evil. Because we don't call it what it is. We're just like, oh, I'm having a rough day. I'm having a hard time trusting God. No, you are losing the spiritual battle that you now find yourself in. That's what it is. I can't sugarcoat it for you. This is not just about, oh boy, got me again. I was scared again. Life happened. Instead of turning to God in prayer and trust, I got scared. I thought the worst. I got negative. It ruined my day. I said something bad to somebody else. You lost. You were not walking in faith, and that's that. So what do I do with that loss? We love sports, right? Yeah, we love sports. You think the coach quits after a loss? No. He may be asked to leave. But usually at the end of the season, have you ever watched the sideline of a losing, hopeless team in about week 12 or 13 in the NFL? It's painful. It is painful because the coach is still trying to do his job. And the players are still trying to move forward. They may not win again the rest of the year. They may not. But they are still working towards and moving forward. Church, it is way too important. And to be quite honest, there's way too few of us in this world. It is way too important for you and I to just say, oh, well, you know, it got me. I guess we'll try again next time. No, you try again now. You stop what you're doing. You get on your knees. You repent to the Father because you let him down. And you go. You go. If you wait for tomorrow to get spiritually stronger, guess what? Tomorrow's going to have its own troubles. And you're not going to be ready for them either. You got to stop. You got to go right now. You got to go right now. So, we know what trials are. We know what steadfastness is. Is God going to be able to count on me to be trusted? And then he says, look, when you can trust God for everything, you're going to be complete. That's all you need. You will be lacking nothing. Michael, what about heaven? It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. Well, I'll be complete when heaven comes. Yeah, but guess what? Until heaven comes or until you get your celebration day, you're going to have trials. And the only question is, are you going to absolutely trust God 100% in them, or are you going to be defeated by them? That's it. Who's going to win? Who's going to win when you face trials? Is it going to be God or is it going to be the enemy? Because there's no ties. There's no splitting the game. Somebody's winning. Somebody's winning. You know, I was thinking about as James speaks about trials, and I'm just thinking about myself and how I deal with things. And what I find in myself is when it's very stressful and when it's really something big, like a loss, I tend to go numb, and I kind of go on autopilot. Like, God's going to get me through this. I'm having a hard time processing and feeling things. You know what gets me? What gets me is the death by a thousand cuts. This happens. Okay, I got it. This happens. Okay. This happens. All right. This happens. All right. None of them are, you know, like a boulder, but it's just pop, 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 one after another where you can't just slow down. You can't process. You can't get your time alone. You can't rest because, oh, the phone's ringing because somebody else needs something. Or, oh, seriously, they're sick too? How many can we have at one time? It's just, And for me personally, that's when my faith goes, all right, let's check this and make sure. Let's not cry out to God and say, God, how can you possibly pour so much on me at one time? Who do you think I am? Job? Come on. Sorry, Job, that one didn't land. It's J-O-B. It's J-O-B. Yeah, that's the days that get me. But an interesting thing, because I received a grace this week, and I'm driving to work Tuesday morning, and I'm in the truck, and I said, all right, Lord, we need to have a talk, because this week's piling up. This week is piling up, and I need to figure out, because I want to be who you need me to be for everyone I need to be that for this week. And I started to pray, and I said, what do I need to see? What do I need to hear? What do I need? And I said, because you know my schedule. You know what's going on each day. You know what I have to accomplish through your strength. So I need a little help right now. And you know what he did? No, he didn't give me more trouble. I already had enough trouble by Tuesday. He started showing me, Michael, look what I did yesterday. He said, Michael, look what I did last night. He said, Michael, look what I did Sunday. Look what I did last Saturday. And he just started showing me his resume in my life the last 7 days. Boy, I got to school that morning. I had a smile across my face. I was so upbeat, and I had so much energy the whole day. I was like, you know what? God has done so much. So much. He has seen me through so many trials that I am going to count it all joy. Why? Because I'm still standing. I'll cry when I'm dead. And even then, I probably won't have the energy to do it. I'm going to keep counting it all joy because look what God has done for me. His track record is perfect. And that's all he did. That's all he showed me. He didn't say, well, Michael, I'm going to fix this problem by doing this, this, and this for you. Michael, I'm going to take that off your plate because you're probably right. You've seen enough. None of that. He didn't give me any of that. He just said, hey, Michael, look what I did yesterday. And I went, yeah, okay, all right. And it was a big week. I mean, besides the obvious of having a loss in the family this week, of having a lot of our families being sick with COVID. Both of my boys started college this week. It's been a little bit. And so just all this stuff, just boom, 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 piling up. And God says, look what I've done. Look what I've done each and every day. Now, go down to verse 12. And this is probably the one you want to underline. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Happy. Remember blessed? Your Beatitudes back in the Gospels? Happy is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Right, when you just trust God, you can be happy. You don't wait for the trial to be over to be happy. You just be happy in the trial. Right? Yeah. It's okay. People look at you a little funny. I'll admit. What? You're going through those trials. How can you be happy? That's so callous. No? That's so faithful. That's so faithful. That's what it says. So, be happy because you remain steadfast under trial. The trials aren't going anywhere. The only thing that's going anywhere is I trust God this much or I trust God this much. So trust Him this much. Trust Him this much. Here's the thing, last thing I'm going to say about that. Just because it is difficult does not mean we have to suffer. Just because it is difficult does not mean we have to suffer. That's a choice. That's a choice. The trials are going to happen. And God says, hey, let me remind you, I sent my son to die, and I raised him back from the grave. Ergo, sin and death have been defeated. And those are your two biggest worries. Everything else is kind of light. So, be happy in your trials. Trust God. Let's turn over to John chapter 18. Kevin read for us in John chapter 18, and this is a, there's a lot of stress in this situation. There's a lot of stress in this situation. A couple things jumped out at me. One of them jumped out at me this morning while Kevin was reading it. Because, you know, I mean, when I give the scripture, I know what it says because I've read it and I've studied it. But I always love hearing somebody else reading it in the body because God always shows me something. And this one kind of made me laugh. I don't know if you caught this, but did you see whose side those... Did you see whose side those armed righteous individuals were in this party? So there's that. But hey, that was just what God gave me this morning. Jesus is in the garden. He is about to go to the cross. Stressful situation, right? And in that stressful situation, they come to him and they say, we're looking for Jesus. Now, we've read this before and God has shown me other powerful things in this story before. And we've looked at before and I absolutely love the part of the story where he just says, I am he. He is invoking the name of God. That's the name that God gave Abraham. I am. And that's what Jesus is doing. And they just, the power of God's name just blows them away. That's not today's story, but that's an awesome part of the story. What's powerful in today's story is the fact that in all his own suffering, Jesus was not worried about himself. He was concerned for those that God had put under his care. The heat's just been turned up. He is about to go. He is about to be whipped. He is about to be beaten. He is about to be humiliated. He is about to die unjustly for our sins. And in this very difficult moment, his concern, just as it was when he enters into Jerusalem before this, and he cries, his heart is broken. That says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times is the Father going to reach out to you and you just reject him? How many prophets has he sent that you mistreated and killed? You don't even recognize God's presence right in front of your eyes. You're going to put to death God's only son. And it's not just Roman guards. These are Pharisees. These are orders of, we'll call it the church, the synagogue, okay? Because the synagogue apparently had soldiers. That's who comes out to Jesus, and Jesus says, I'm the one you want. Leave them alone. And again, he's fulfilling scripture because it says, of those whom you gave me, I have lost no one. Church, we got to remember that when we are going through trials, when things get difficult, a lot of our trials are because of other people, right? I mean, a lot of our pain and a lot of our suffering is because we care about other people. I mean, every once in a while, are we going to get sick? Are we going to, something bad going to happen to us? Yes. But a lot of our weight is because we love other people. We care about other people, right? Moms, you had a sleepless night over a fevered child? Yes? No? Just me? Sorry. me and some of the moms. I've been there. It's hard. It's scary. It's scary. Because God put someone in your care and in your heart. You're responsible for them and you care about them. So a lot of the weight that we carry is because of other people. Jesus stands up to take the heat so that they can be spared. That's what I want us to see from John chapter 18 this morning. Jesus stands in the way of trouble to take the heat so that those God has put in his care can be spared. How big is that? How big is that? That whoever God has put in your circle, that's whose care is important. And that's what it means to look like Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for us. He didn't work to protect himself. He worked to bring life to others. And I know you and I spend a lot of time and energy on self-preservation. But the way of Christ is the preservation of others. That's what we're called to. If God sees fit to allow you to serve others, do it willingly and do it joyfully. Don't gripe and complain because someone close to you is having a hard time. Don't gripe and complain because someone that is in your family or your church or your circle or whatever. Don't gripe and complain because they're suffering and why do I have to put up with this or why do I have to deal with this? God put them in your circle. Be like Jesus. Care about them. Love them. Take care of them. Look after them. Help them. Reach out to them. Do what needs to be done for them. The Lord gave me this one, so I'll just give him credit. You're going through trials. Sometimes those trials are your own personal suffering. Sometimes you're being tempted. Sometimes you're getting hit pretty hard with life. Sometimes it is those around you that you need to look after that make our burdens feel heavier. But I want you to remember this. When you're praying for it, don't pray out of it. Pray through it. So often we pray out of it. We pray out of those trials that produce within us the steadfastness that God is looking for to bring us to completion. Lord, take this trouble away. Fix this problem. Remove this burden. Don't pray out of it. Pray through it. God, I am trusting you 100%. I know that you have this. I'm feeling kind of weak right now, but I know you have this. Your life will absolutely change when you stop praying out of problems and instead you pray through those problems. Because I guarantee you God's going to show up every time we have faith in Him. That's who God is. That's what He does. He is trustworthy. So quit praying out of it and pray through it. Your life will absolutely change starting today if you do just that one thing different. As a follower of Jesus, I know I'm not yelling at you. I'm not looking at a bunch of heathens going, you guys are all wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if you will just do that one thing, if you will handle your trials saying, all right, Lord, you put me here. You've got me here. You obviously want me to experience this. Let's go. I'm going to trust you with it, and I'm going to see what glory it brings to your name. Pray through it. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, look what Jesus says. Matthew 6, 34, Jesus says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Church, we've got to take each day. We got to take each day. We get so stressed out over what we've already got to do by Thursday, don't we? Oh, you will not believe what's already on my calendar this week. you will not believe. I don't even have room for anything to pop up. I don't have time for anything new to happen. You ever said that? Yeah, some of you are laughing like you've said that before. Like, boy, this week's going to be busy. And then, oh, no, I didn't even know what busy was. And some of you probably have said, oh, hey, there's nothing on the books. This is going to be a light week. Then you really may leave room for God to do some good work, don't you? When you don't have any plans. Stress comes when we bring tomorrow's trouble to today. One of the things yesterday at Rex Memorial Service that Brandon, his son, shared with us, and this was honestly my favorite thing of the whole service, something that Rex taught him a long time ago. And Brandon, it was one of those times Brandon said, I was just stressed out and I had so much going on, and I just felt overwhelmed. I felt like too much. And Rex told him this, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to steal it, and I'm writing it down, and I'm hanging on to it. It's just absolutely amazing. He said to his son, when life gets overwhelming, do what is right in the situation right in front of you. He actually said it, do the next right thing. So that's the easy, rememberable version. Do the next right thing. Church, how often do we have stress because we're worried about how we're going to deal with that situation and that situation, and I don't know how I'm going to deal with that person, and I don't even know what I'm going to do in that meeting on Tuesday, and I don't know how I'm going to take care of this financial burden that's in my path. We just start borrowing stress from the future, and we just start bringing it in, and we try to take all of the future stress and place it on today's shoulders. We do, don't we? You know what I'm talking about. That is so heavy. That is so heavy. And we just carry that burden. And now we're just worried about all that stuff for all that extra time. And Jesus says, in his wisdom, look, today, the stress of today, that's what your shoulders were built for. The stress and the trouble of today, that's where I need you. Now, number one, it's so we don't get overwhelmed. But number two, and I'm honestly convinced of this, is that you and I miss many opportunities to be Jesus to the world around us because we have brought so much stress and pressure upon ourselves. When we are not living in today, we do not notice today the people that God is trying to put in our path. When I am so focused on my Tuesday, I do not see a disguised angel today that needs my service. I said angel, it's a messenger of God. Guess what? People that are put in your life path that need you to slow down, open your eyes to something outside yourself, that's a messenger from God. The message is, you are not the most important thing here. That's the message. But we bring all that stress from the future, we put it on today's shoulder, we don't even notice the people who actually need us today. Today has enough trouble. Today. So enjoy the day. Enjoy the day. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Jesus says, as soon as I find it, 16:10, this is a one-verser. You guys don't get that very often, just the one-verse lessons. You guys are used to theses, paragraphs. Luke 16:10. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. All right, now look. The story, he's talking about money. He's talking about money, but he says faithful and honesty. All right? So that's what I'm going to focus on this morning. You build big faith by being faithful in little things. You build big faith by being faithful in little things. You want to know how someone can lose a loved one and have a smile on their face? On their face and trust God, holding their loved one's soul even after their body is done, is because they trusted God in little things. Kevin mentioned the examples, the great examples of faith that we have, that we have been shown, that we have seen, that we get to rub elbows with and live around. You want to know how they got great faith? They started with little faith. And they trusted God with every little thing. And when you trust God with every little thing, when the big thing happens, because you and I are the ones that call things big and little. That's an us thing. That's not a God thing. We decide if a trial or a tragedy or a tribulation is big or little, right? And that's usually all zip code. If it's right here, if it's within my own personal social distancing, it's a big deal. If it's way over there, well, that's a little deal, right? I mean, we're going to pray for Louisiana and their upcoming storm, but my house has a problem. That's real. So it's proximity. It's proximity. Church, if we are faithful in little things, then we're going to have faith in big things. So trust God in the little things, because nothing's too little. Nothing's too little. All right, last one, and this one is from Proverbs chapter 3. If you were here yesterday, and you might not know this, But Rex Driver loved the Proverbs. He loved them. He would share with me a lot of the wisdom that he found in life was directly from Proverbs. He read from them on a regular basis, like a daily basis, and he would always get something good. He said, Michael, there's so much wisdom in Proverbs, you can just get something every single day. And so because of that influence that Rex had on me, I'd like to close today with a proverb. It's from Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs is the one right after Psalms. Psalms, Proverbs. I'll get there. From Proverbs chapter 3. Here's the final word of what we're doing this morning. I'm going to let you run with it. I'm going to let you go and just have big faith. Just get out there this week and just have big faith. You just get out there this week and just be steadfast in trials. You just get out there this week and you just be joyful in what God is doing. Because He'll comfort your heart. He'll comfort your heart. He'll strengthen your weakness and He will comfort your heart. Proverbs chapter 3, and we are in verse 5. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, and then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. In all things, trust God. In all things. There's nothing too small and there's nothing too big. Trust Him with it. Let Him lead. Church, He has got this. There is not one bit of news that's going to happen this week that you and I need to be afraid of, because He has got this. There is nothing outside His purview. There is nothing so terrible or shocking that the Lord looks down upon and says, oh, whoa, didn't see that coming. He knows all, and He knows more than we do. So do not dare take one step of one day of your little life relying upon how you, from your little angle, view the world. Can't be trusted. Trust God, because He sees all and He knows all. And the good news for us is that He's got all of us carefully, safely, in His loving, tender hands. So, we're going to sing and we're going to offer an invitation this morning, but church, most of us here are believers, most of us here are Christians, and my invitation to you is just take this and change your life with it, because this is life-changing this morning. It is, because so much of the suffering that we go through, we just bring it upon ourselves. You and I just walk around being normal Christians, being normal people, and yet still just not following His words of how to live like Jesus. So my invitation to you today is live like Jesus. Trust Him. Trust Him. Those that He has put under your care, they are not trouble. He sees fit to bless you with the stewardship of others, then that is never a burden. That is never a burden. Put others first. Put others first. Because what Jesus did changed the world. And what you do this week could change the world for somebody. I mean, you're not going to have the worldwide effect that Jesus has, but let's be honest. You're not Jesus. But you can follow in Jesus' steps and you can still change the world for somebody. You can change the world for somebody. Let's stand together and sing.
Jesus is coming for you. Jesus is calling your faith to pray out of the fields of sin. Jesus is calling all hear Him say, won't you come work today into the fields of service, walk in the Master's way. Calling you today,
Jesus, the light of the world. Valley, mountains high, walk in the narrow way. Won't you come home to the Master's hand? Walk in the light of the day. Walk in the light. He is the light. Come and His will obey. Swiftly the hours are passing by. Tomorrow may be too late. Won't you now hear His tender plea? He is the living way. Cleansing from every sinful stain, how could He love me so? Washed in the blood at Calvary, while living waters flow. Calling you today, Jesus, the light of the world. Valley, mountains high, walk in the narrow way. Won't you come home to the Master's hand? Walk in the light of the day. He is the light. Come and His will obey. Please be seated.
Morning. A few things to remember. Of course, remember those who are in Louisiana as the hurricane approaches there. Keep in mind in prayer, Alma's sisters are in that path based on what we've received so far, and so prayers for their safety. And also continue to be with Rex's family as God continues to shine His peace on them, and be with. And for to be with Rex's son as he's traveling home today, and to keep him safe. We also want to keep those who have had COVID issues, the Arthurs, the Sanders, Bill and Kathy. As mentioned, Tony is actually no longer on COVID. He has a mild sinus infection, and so they're still keeping him in the hospital for that at the moment, just slowly weaning him off of the oxygen and everything. And so continue to prayers for them. Are there any other announcements or anything? All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this day that You bless us with, and we thank You for this time to come together and to lift Your name up. God, we ask that You be with those who are fighting off the COVID. God, be with them, give them strength, give them Your healing, that they can be back with us and serve You. God, be with those who are in Louisiana as the hurricane approaches. God, help them to trust You and to look to You and keep them safe, Lord. Be with Rex's family as they continue to transition. Through this time, continue to grant them Your strength and Your peace. And be with Rex's son as he travels home. Keep him safe. Be with us all, God. Help us continue to trust You through the trials and not just after the trials or before the trials. In Jesus' name, amen.